ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण हरे कृष्ण। टुडे आफ्टरनून वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद्गीता 18 चैप्टर विच इज एंटाइटल्ड द परफेक्शन ऑफ रिनन्सिएशन। दिस इज द लास्ट चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद्गीता, टेक्स्ट नंबर 68। या इदं परमं गुह्यं मद्भक्तेष्व विद्यासति भक्तिं मयि परां कृत्वा मामेवैष्यत संशया। ट्रांसलेशन: फॉर वन हू एक्सप्लेन्स दिस सुप्रीम सीक्रेट टू द डिवोटीज, प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस इज गारंटीड एंड एट द एंड ही विल कम बैक टू मी। Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Generally, it is advised that Bhagavad Gita be discussed amongst the devotees only. For those who are not devotees, will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as He is and Bhagavad Gita as it is, should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a subject matter for the devotees only and not for philosophical speculators. However, anyone who sincerely tries to present Bhagavad Gita as it is will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. Yaidam paramam guhyam madbhaktesha vidyasati bhaktim mai param kritva mame veshata samshaya. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed and at the end he will come back to me. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं। हरे कृष्ण। Would like to welcome all devotees for our Sunday feast program, and we actually very much appreciate your taking out your time and coming every Sunday like this. And this inspires all of us also, those who are staying in the temple, to practice devotional service. When we see that devotees are so sincere that they get once a week off and they want to come and chant and dance and glorify the Supreme Lord. And today, we are reading from this very important chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is speaking about preaching. And since this is the month of the book distribution marathon, and every devotee here in our congregation is inspired under the leadership of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj and many other devotees, they are distributing a lot of books, and we are on the verge of distributing 100,000 Bhagavad Gitas, 1 lakh Bhagavad Gitas This has never been done before. And devotees are very inspired and they want to preach and give the message of Krishna to everyone. So, considering this situation, let us discuss a little bit about preaching, about book distribution. And in this verse which we just now read, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna the importance of preaching. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that if we sincerely give Krishna to others, if we sincerely do that, we will get pure devotional service and we'll go back home, back to Godhead. This is Prabhupada's guarantee. When Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan in June 1976, he used to give evening darshan and devotees would come to his room and they would hear Krishna Katha from Prabhupada. But one particular evening, Prabhupada was very sick. He was holding his stomach like this and he was in acute pain. His body was paining, his head was reeling. And Prabhupada had kept his eyes closed. And devotees entered the room as usual. They knew that Prabhupada is very sick and he will not be speaking. So Prabhupada's secretary, Pradyumna Prabhu, he was reading from Krishna book or some Prabhupada's book. And others were quietly listening. So the program everybody understood was, today Prabhupada will not be speaking, but Pradyumna Prabhu will instead read and then they all will go. So this went on for some time. And after some time, Pradyumna Prabhu finished, he closed the book and all devotees were about to leave. And Prabhupada, all the while, Prabhupada was sitting like this, head down in acute pain. And as soon as devotees got up to leave, Prabhupada looked up and Prabhupada said, any questions? So devotees were surprised. Prabhupada is asking for questions. So should we leave him alone or should we ask? So then one devotee sat down and immediately others sat down. And then one devotee said, Prabhupada, what will happen in Kali Yuga? And then Prabhupada started answering. Then somebody asked a question about Krishna. And Prabhupada was in great spirit. And everybody, and even Prabhupada, everybody forgot that Prabhupada is sick. Prabhupada was in a transcendental position and he was just narrating Krishna Katha non-stop for more than an hour. Went on speaking. He was blissful and devotees are blissful. And after an hour, devotees realized that Prabhupada should be left alone. And then they all left and they went back. So this is a very striking pastime that Prabhupada was so absorbed in discussing about Krishna and giving Krishna to others that he transcended bodily platform. And he always felt a great sense of urgency to give Krishna. Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur would always say that there is only one problem in this world. What is that? Lack of Krishna consciousness. And there is only one solution needed for this world and that is Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was very eager to present Krishna as he is because he was he was completely Krishna conscious. And when we remember Krishna or we connect ourselves to Krishna, we also become transcendental. Why? Because Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is Satchidananda. So when we connect ourselves to the source of all ananda, source of all bliss, we also become blissful. Therefore, today we'll try to understand logically this mood of Prabhupada, the importance of this mood of preaching or book distribution. We'll try to answer three questions. First is, whenever we are distributing books, there are how many parties involved? Basically two. One is the one who is taking the book. And the second party is all of us because we are all devotees. We are preaching. We are distributing books. So we'll try to answer three questions. First is, what benefit will a person get when he takes a book? Because many times devotees are giving books but they're not sure if this book will actually benefit that person. They are doubtful. They are weak. And we need to strengthen our faith. Very important for devotees to be convinced when they go out for book distribution and preaching that this book will help this person. Second question is, how will it benefit the book distributor? How will the preacher be benefited? That also is important because we have some selfish interests. We also want something to gain in life. So we also will get something. And third, we'll discuss that the secret of the spiritual happiness, what is the mood in which we should distribute books, or what is the mood in which we should preach. Then we will be able to actually experience this ananda. Otherwise, this bliss will be very, very difficult to experience. So first question we'll try to answer now. What will happen to a person who takes Prabhupada's book or who renders sincere, submissive oral reception to Krishna Katha that we are speaking? What will happen when a person takes Prabhupada's book? He gets connected to Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir, Aham Bija Pradapita, I am the father of all living entities. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke, all the living entities are my parts and parcels. So if we are able to successfully give a book to a person, that person will be now re-establishing his lost connection with Krishna. So that journey has begun. And once we are connected to Krishna, that is the beginning of the end of our misery. Our life will change. Because in this world, people have everything, but they don't have Krishna, that's why they are miserable. In this world, there is no scarcity of anything. There are people who are billionaires, but they are also crying. They are also languishing. Their condition of every living entity is like that of a child who is lost in the market. A small boy or a small girl, a baby is lost in the market and is frantically searching for his or her parent, mother or father. And as the child is desperately crying for the mother or father, somebody comes and gives the child some lollipop. Somebody gives him a toy. Somebody gives him a mobile phone. Somebody gives him something else. Will the child be happy? You might give him the best electronic gadgets, but ultimately the child wants his parent. Only when he gets the loving embrace of his parent, he becomes completely satisfied. Similarly, in this world we see, people have everything. They have all the latest electronic gadgets. They have wealth. They have fame. They have big positions in society, but they are still miserable. They are crying. They are suffering. Because we are lost in this market of material world and we are desperately wanting to seek. The soul is desperately wanting to connect with the parent, and that is Krishna. And when we connect ourselves to Krishna, then everything else pales in comparison. It becomes insignificant. Therefore, we need to understand that we have to give this book because this book will help this person get connected to his parent, eternal father. Today, Govind Prabhu was saying in the morning class, a very powerful point. Prabhupada was in Indore, Gita Sammelan, and these people had not kept Krishna's photo. And Prabhupada said, why you not kept Krishna's photo? Krishna is the speaker of Gita. And these people said, we are interested in knowledge, not the person who is giving the knowledge. Prabhupada said, this is Maya. This is demoniac mentality. We are interested in the Lord's energy. We want to exploit and abuse the energy, but we are not interested in the energetic, the source of all this energy. And therefore, people are miserable because they don't want Krishna. They want to enjoy Krishna's property, Krishna's resources. We will always be miserable as long as we have this consciousness. But once we give Prabhupada's book, which is filled with knowledge about how Krishna is a person, and we have to surrender to Krishna, he is our father. So once one gets Prabhupada's Gita and gets this knowledge, he becomes established in his constitutional position. And that is the source of all joy. There is no other misery. People have everything. There is no scarcity of anything in this world. Sometimes people say poverty is a problem. Actually, if you analyze, it is just because of the exploitative, greedy mentality of a few people that there is poverty in this world. Actually, there is no problem. In fact, the United Nations report says that to remove the poverty in this world, we just need $13 billion. That's all. And that is the amount of money that is spent by America and Europe every year on their cosmetics. That's it. So that means there is no scarcity. If people do a little bit of more intelligent planning, poverty can be removed. But the problem is poverty of the soul. The soul is suffering. People don't know that they have to connect themselves to Krishna. And therefore there is a big facade going on. A classic example that actually proved this to me personally was when I read His Holiness Dindadharma Swami Maharaj's diary, he was in Sri Lanka after the tsunami. And he was saying that he met the army general, and he told the army general that we are from ISKCON and we'll do all relief work, whatever we can. We have got so much thousands of dollars, we have got blankets, and we'll distribute khichdi. And immediately that army general, he caught hold of Maharaj's shoulder and said, Swamiji, we don't have any shortage of money. We are getting lakhs and lakhs and millions of dollars from all over the world. Tsunami was such a big disaster that people were generously contributing. There is no shortage of blankets, food, nothing. Even when there was an earthquake in Gujarat, our neighboring country president sent relief. Because when there is a disaster, people, even if they are envious and demoniac, they develop sympathy and they give, they help. That's not difficult. So in tsunami, so the army general was telling Maharaj that we have got everything. But still people are miserable because the trauma of the shock that they are experiencing because of this trauma, because of this tsunami, that cannot be compensated by a few thousand dollars or by some clothes. That we are anyway giving. Can you do something different? Can you give them happiness? Which money and blankets are not able to give. Maharaj said, I will try. And then what did they do? They served khichdi to all the villagers. In that one small village they went, where everything was destroyed except one small Ram temple. So there Maharaj did kirtan. And all the children came together. For 3 days and three nights, they were having constant kirtan and a little bit of rest. And then again kirtan, rest, prasadam, kirtan, prasad. People were so intoxicated by that kirtan. Everybody was smiling, laughing, jubilant. This is one of the biggest disasters in that village. People were devastated, but now they were blissful. And after 3 days, Maharaj had to go to next village for relief work. And these villagers, they just gathered around him and refused to let him go. They said, no, 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 you can't leave us. Because the holy name of the Lord, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that actually this penetrates the soul. This actually goes into the innermost recesses of our heart and establishes the connection of the soul with Krishna. Therefore, we should not be carried away by the facade of this world. Prabhupada's books and preaching is most important because it helps the soul get connected to Krishna and experience real ananda, real joy of life. In this world, it's only a facade going on. If you carefully analyze and if you see, you will see there's only word jugglery and nice things people say. They wear sophisticated clothes. They present themselves in a very sophisticated way. But it's all superficial. It's hollow. The world is hollow from within. I was talking to one young boy recently. He came for our program. He is working. His job is 24-hour job. Ridiculous. He works 14 hours or something. Then he goes home. He sleeps. He eats dinner, but he sleeps. But he has to be on call anytime. Anytime his mobile rings, he has to work on the computer and send some messages. He has clients all over the world. So his company has given him a laptop and mobile to make him feel that, you know, he's got some nice comforts. But he was saying, Prabhuji, 3 o'clock, the mobile rings, I have to get up and I have to address the call. I have to work on the computer, solve the problem, then I go back to sleep. Then again I get some call. He has no rest. 200 years ago, if something like this was happening, 100 years ago, people would have called it as slavery. But nowadays, they call it as customer service, career growth. they have nice terms to make a person feel that we are progressing, we are hard working. It's all word jugglery, you know. People are very greedy for money, they will call it as ambition. He's very ambitious. He's ambitious and progressive in outlook. These are the kind of terms. They will use gross domestic product, per capita income index. As if all these indexes and all these parameters, they really matter. Even for other things also, for abortion, they will use nice words, tissue removal, as if it's some small tissue that is being removed. You know? Somebody is stupid, they'll call him intellectually impaired. So that, you know, or somebody is a bhangi, somebody is a cleaner, they call him what? Sanitation engineer. So they are very nice. Society is based on nice word jugglery, nice presentation. Modern society is a society of where personality development is very important. When we have personality development course, a lot of people come. Everybody wants to develop personality. But if you have a character development course, nobody comes. Personality is more important than character. So it's a very crazy world. And people think they are happy. That's the biggest illusion. That's why we have to give Prabhupada's books. I remember when I was working 10 years ago in the office, I had my boss who was 34 years old. That's all. But he was bald. He had grown bald because of stress. We are voluntarily bald, but he was forced by nature. Heavy dose of caffeine and cigarettes. He was in the dealing room. Heavy trading. And after 3-4 years, I heard recently that his career is finished. He's just at home. He's doing consultancy service. His back is gone. His life is so terrible, so miserable. People are suffering. So therefore, we have to understand that there is real happiness. And that is the happiness of the soul. And that is presently covered by these artificial coverings. Because the nature of the salt is what? To be salty. Sugar means, Prabhupada would say, sugar means sweet. Water means liquid. And soul by nature means servant of God, and he has to serve God and he will be happy in that position. But right now we have covered it with so many artificial layers, all centered around, I am the enjoyer, I am great. Everybody wants to be greater than the greatest. But Radhanath Maharaj was saying in the recent class, but happiness lies in being smaller than the smallest. Wanting to be a servant of the Lord and devotees. But nobody has an understanding of this. And how will they understand if you don't give them Prabhupada's books? Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk once at Stowe Lake at California, and there was ice layer on the lake. Prabhupada picked up his walking stick and he started hitting that ice. And devotees are surprised, why is Prabhupada doing that? And after breaking that ice layer, Prabhupada smiled. Prabhupada turned to the devotees and said, this is my job, to break the ice layer. And then he said, every living entity is covered by a thick layer of ice. And just like the water's natural position is to be liquid, but it has now artificially become ice. And only when we pierce, that ice will go away and the natural position of the water will come out. Similarly, now I am, through my books, through my preaching, I am piercing the ice-like artificial layer in the heart and allowing the natural liquid-like nature of the soul to blossom and come out. For that, people are established in their constitutional position and they can be happy. For this is Prabhupada's philosophy, Prabhupada's presentation. Nothing artificial. This is not foreign. This is the natural position of the soul. But it has been covered, so Prabhupada is giving us. Therefore, we should understand that Prabhupada's book will bring about a revolution in this world. They will give people real happiness. Prahlad Maharaj says, Sukham endriya ekam daitya deya yogena dehinam. Sarvatra labhate devad yata dukkam ayatnata. He is telling his classmates, why should one be interested in bodily happiness, sense gratification? That will automatically come. As long as we have this body, happiness and distress will automatically come. You don't have to try separately for it, for bodily happiness. Just like we don't pray for distress. Is there anybody who prays that, let me meet with accident, let me fail in exam? No, we don't pray. But still, don't we get such miseries? So the Shastra says, Prahlad Maharaj says, similarly, don't have to pray for Sukha. Sukha will come. Don't have to work hard for that. Try to get that which you cannot get by any other material endeavor in this world. Aspire for love of Krishna. Because there are people who have everything. Mr. Elvis Presley, one of the greatest rock singers, rock musicians, he had 100 Cadillac cars, but still he died because of, he committed suicide by taking 24 drugs, overdosage of drugs. And he was dying with 100 Cadillac cars around him. What a tragedy. People have no dearth. This is the actual shortage. The soul is suffering. Therefore, we should understand that nowadays, the greatest need for the society is Krishna consciousness. And when we preach, when we give Prabhupada's books, people get Krishna consciousness and then they become happy. Because bodily happiness automatically available. Shankaracharya has said very nice verse. Balastavat krida sakta, tarunastavat तरुणी सकता वृद्धस्तावत चिंता सकता परे ब्रह्मा कोपी न सकता चाइल्डहुड यू आर अटैच टू प्लेइंग बालस्तावत क्रीडा सकता तरुणस्तावत यूथ बॉय यंग बॉय चेजिंग आफ्टर तरुणी सकता गर्ल्स वृद्धस्तावत ओल्ड एज चिंता सकता चिंता परे ब्रह्मा कोपी न सकता वेन विल यू स्टार्ट थिंकिंग अबाउट कृष्णा वेन विल यू एस्पायर एंड गेट हायर हैप्पीनेस इज आस्किंग एक्चुअली शंकराचार्य इज नॉट इफ यू वॉज अलाइव टूडे यू वुड हैव नॉट रिटन दिस वर्स यू वुड हैव चेंज दिस श्लोका बिकॉज बालस्तावत क्रीडा सकता इज सेइंग दैट चिल्ड्रन आर अटैच टू स्पोर्ट्स बट नाउ डेज इवन ओल्ड पीपल आर अटैच टू स्पोर्ट्स And Shankaracharya says, Vriddhastavat Chinta Sakta, old people have Chinta, but nowadays even children, they have Chinta. We have done one stress management class seminar for 8th standard students. I have done that class, I have given that class in one school. For 8th standard students I have done stress management and overcoming anger. So that means, Balastavat Chinta Sakta, Vriddhastavat Krida Sakta. It's all hodgepodge, mixed up. Yeah, you see, children are, in fact, there are certain very, very embarrassing things. Guinness Book of World Records says about youngest father who is 8-year-old boy. And there were shootouts in Borivali and in America also. It all came in the newspapers about young boys killing and kidnapping to impress their girlfriends. So boys are, young children are also victims of lust. And youth are interested in sports. And old people, they are also interested. They are also chasing after women. They are also interested in sports. It's a crazy world. I once saw in Heathrow Airport, two old men are playing. Because they physically cannot play football. So they are having, both of them have a video screen with them. And they are playing. And they are intensely involved, you know. Completely absorbed. Because physically cannot play, but still you want to feel that I am an enjoyer, I am great. So you enjoy through some video game like that. And they spend hours. So this crazy things are going on in this world. Nobody is happy. And therefore, at such a time, we have Prabhupada's books, which are very special. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Krishna Sadam Upagate Jnana Dharma Bhisaha Kalo Nashta Drashameva Puranarko Dunodita. That Krishna has gone back to the spiritual world. And along with him, he took Jnana and Dharma. But Krishna is very kind. He knows that Kali Yuga, people's vision has been destroyed. Kalo Nashta Drisham Eva. They are affected by cataract. They cannot see. They do not know what is right, what is wrong. And in this darkness, they are running around carrying weapons. If in the darkness, a blind man has a sword in his hand and he starts running around like a madman, what will happen? He will injure himself and others. So in Kali Yuga, people are in darkness of ignorance. And in this ignorance, they are trying to solve problems of life. So when we try to solve problems in ignorance, that solution creates a bigger problem than the original problem. Kalo nashta drisham evasha. Therefore, Krishna has sent his books, Purana Arko, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like Arka, it is like sun. Purana Arko, Dhunodita. This sun will remove not only the ignorance and darkness of this world, this sun will also remove the cataract from our eyes. Very special knowledge, special light. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's books are so powerful. They remove, they dispel the darkness, the ignorance of this world. And thus we can see that a person who takes Srila Prabhupada's books is eternally benefited because he can establish his connection with Krishna. Whether a person we meet on the street is convinced of this or not, a devotee who is distributing books should be convinced of this fact that he is doing the greatest welfare activity. He is helping a soul get re-established with Krishna. Now we will try to answer the second question, and that is, what are the benefits for a devotee who is preaching, who is distributing books? What benefits he gets? He gets many benefits, but from the experience and realizations of few book distributors and devotees, I've summarized it into 4 points. There are 4 things certainly we will experience when we preach to others. And we are given it an acronym, easy to remember. H-A-R-D, hard. H stands for humility. It's amazing, we hear so much about humility. in all the lectures and we read about it so much. But many of us feel it's a kind of theoretical concept, isn't it? What exactly is humility? And so when we distribute books, when we preach, we actually are forced to become humble. We might not want to become humble. I think all of us have experience of this. What happens when you give a book to someone? See, generally, we have this idea. From childhood, we have been trained that I am special. The whole world is looking at me. I am great. As soon as the child is born, Kapila Dev tells Mother Devahuti, all the parents, relatives are surrounding that baby. You know, such a cute baby, cuddly, cuddly, cute. They keep saying the child is so nice, so cute. So what happens? The child starts thinking, wow, I am the center of the universe. So right from childhood, this idea that I am great, I am special is nourished. And as you grow up, we think, I am special. And then we go out on book distribution, people don't even look at us. They walk, you know, sometimes when we show books, I remember just showing books, please, would like to see this book? They just walk straight through you as if you don't, you know, it's amazing. And sometimes we try some techniques, like, excuse me, I've done my MBA and I'm this. We try to impress people so that we can catch their attention. So it has worked sometimes, and sometimes people take books, like some Krishnanand Prabhu would do. I'm from Rice University, America, and I'm giving these books. And people would stop. So once I tried this in the train also, you know. Excuse me, I've done my master's and I'm MBA finance. He looked at me and said, "Pek raha hai." Hey, you're bluffing. He said, "You're bluffing," and he walked off. So, you know, it's like a false pride is like a glass. It's broken, you know, and you are left. You want to collect those scattered pieces of glass and you are like completely miserable. You're wondering what happened. One day you are glorified. Next day, I remember in one company we went bank, National de Paris, French bank, and then one Birla company. Everywhere we were distributing. People are honoring us so much. And we came down of the building and that security wala Avaldar was chasing us with the stick. He was humiliating us and he was abusing us. So basically, no one will care for us when we go for distribution, when we try to preach. So this humility, I'm not claiming that I've become humble or we'll become humble. Humility is very difficult. But at least in our level, Isolina Pradhana Swami Maharaj says, at our level, what is real humility? At our level, real humility means aspiration for real humility. When we aspire to be humble, that is humility. So what happens when you distribute books, at least we understand that humility is important. Even if you don't become humble. And once Isolina Pradhana Swami Maharaj gave a definition of humility. He said, humility means to tell Krishna, Krishna, I was nothing, I am nothing, I will be nothing, and you are everything. So when we go out on books, we tell people when we are preaching, even if we don't tell Krishna like that, we will realize that I am nothing because people will not care for us. And one day you may do a lot of books, next day nobody will look at you. So therefore, book distribution is very practical service which makes a person humble because nobody gives him importance. And we have high estimation about ourselves. All that estimation is torn to pieces. When pure devotees also distribute books, they also preach not because they want to be humble. They preach because they have already cultivated humility. And that's why they are preaching. And we have to preach so that we can become humble. It works both ways. Srila Prabhupada was in Melbourne in March 1974 in La Trobe University. And as Prabhupada was speaking, the students are abusing Prabhupada. And devotees said, "Prabhupada, let us leave this place." Prabhupada said, "No, they are ignorant. Let them do it. But I have to give the message of Krishna." And Prabhupada is preaching. And this yelling and shouting became so bad that one of the students took out a dragger because devotees are also there. Devotees are trying to quieten the crowd. So one of the hecklers, he took out his chaku and he tried to stab the devotee. But the devotee disarmed him and there was a fighting began. And some people started throwing some things on the stage. But Prabhupada is continuing to take question and answers. Eventually the fighting became, that shouting became so bad that Prabhupada had to be taken out. But the biggest concern for the devotees was how to take Prabhupada safely. For they took a back exit. And students, some people started running towards Prabhupada and the devotees to beat them. And somehow Prabhupada reached his car safely. But as soon as the car started, this crowd entered. And they threw black paint on Prabhupada's window. One lady, she kicked Prabhupada's car. Somebody spat. And Prabhupada all the while was quiet. He was just chanting Hare Krishna. He left the comfort of Vrindavan, where he was considered as a Babaji at Radha Damodar temple. If he had just stayed there, he already knew the Prime Minister of India. He had already published so many books. He was an author of good reputation in India. But now he's going, leaving Vrindavan and taking abuses from so many people. So for us to face some little rejection should not be a big problem. We should be happily going and giving books. It's humbling for us. But pure devotees do this preaching out of compassion. And they're naturally humble. They don't care about their own respect. 3 days back, His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj was in the book table for 1.5 hours. At Parel, then at Dadar. He was meeting so many strangers. Preaching to Karmis, giving books. And I remember once in Kumbh Mela also, I saw Maharaj giving books in that preaching tent. Talking to complete strangers. And they were asking such stupid questions. Some people are challenging. And I was getting angry. You know, you don't know whom you're talking to. I was thinking. But then Maharaj was very coolly answering and he was enjoying it. And we see His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj in ISKCON. Such an elderly sannyasi. His health is so bad. But one day he's distributing books in Japan. Next day he's in Kenya. He's traveling. Wherever he goes, he distributes books. And he comes across so many strange people. So therefore, preaching and book distribution is a very practical service by which we can become humble. We are forced to eat the humble pie, as they say. Because we have, at the conditioned stage, a huge pus of false ego. For generally, there is a pus on the body. You know, we don't like anybody hitting it like that. Anybody touches it also, it causes pain. But somebody blows air on it, or they just put some ointment, we feel very nice. So, generally what happens in this world is, when we interact with each other, we are always blowing air on each other's pus of false ego. Because we want ourselves to be respected and loved. So we say nice things to other person says nice, and our pus is protected. We have a big pus. I am the great, I am best, I am beautiful. And then when we go out and give books to people, what do people do? They don't blow air on the pus. They just take a big needle and they just pierce it. And you can imagine what pain it will be. So it's very shattering. But it's worth it because if the mood is proper, which we'll discuss shortly, it goes a long way in making a devotee preacher become very Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada and Krishna will recognize a devotee who goes out and preaches and does book distribution and he becomes humble in the process. Srila Prabhupada was in Paris once and Hari Vilas Prabhu was introducing different devotees. One devotee was introducing, Hari Vilas Prabhu was a temple president and he was thinking, and Prabhupada, and one devotee was telling, Prabhupada, he is Krishnadas Prabhu. He is doing the kitchen seva. And Prabhupada would say, Acha, Hare Krishna. And then this devotee would say, Prabhupada, you know, this is Nitai Chandra Das. Prabhupada would say, okay, Hare Krishna. So Hari Vilas Prabhu was in the back and he was thinking, I am the temple president, so Prabhupada will not talk to me. So he came in front, he said, I came in great style. And everybody made way for me. And I came and sat right in front of Prabhupada. Thinking that Prabhupada will notice me and Prabhupada will look at me. He says, Prabhupada didn't even look at me. And then this devotee said, Prabhupada, this is Hari Vilas Prabhu, our temple president. Prabhupada just ignored him and looked at others. Okay. And then again continued to ask the announcer, you know, introduce the other devotees. Completely ignored him and he was feeling, I have been completely humbled. And then he said, and Prabhupada, there in that corner is Lochanananda Das Prabhu. He is one of the book distributors. Prabhupada said, Acha, Lochanananda Prabhu, oh, how are you? Very nice. And Prabhupada told him the meaning of his name. Prabhupada was giving so much importance to devotees who are in the background, who are humble. So Hari Vilas Prabhu was saying that Prabhupada and Krishna recognizes those devotees who are genuinely humble and they go out and preach and try their best. On one occasion, Prabhupada was talking to all great scientists. Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was there and different devotees when they were arguing argument. And one new brahmachari was standing next to Prabhupada and doing chamar seva. So this conversation went on for many hours. Finally, Prabhupada said, okay, we'll go. And Prabhupada left. And there was big prasadam plate. Prabhupada said, all of you enjoy prasad. And Prabhupada was going out, he stopped. And he turned back. And he told everybody, make sure that brahmachari, he should get double of what all of you get. He has done so much seva. So this devotee became so happy that Prabhupada recognized. Because he was insignificant. He was just in the background. So Krishna recognizes. Prabhupada recognizes when we just simply go out, preach. We might not create waves. We might just preach to a few people. But it goes a long way in the whole mission. For this is one thing, this is one advantage, one benefit we get. We actually become humble. And when we become humble, we get mercy of Krishna. Second benefit is HA. A stands for adventure and excitement. Life is so dull and boring, isn't it? Just get up in the morning, do your routine, go to work, go to college, come back, do your homework, watch TV, sleep. Again, it's so dull and boring. But when we go out and preach and meet strange people, new people, it's so exciting. It's adventure. It's fun. Before coming to ISKCON, I could never imagine going to a police station. You know? And after coming to ISKCON, first marathon, go to police stations, meet different... I remember the first time I entered, I was shivering. And what will happen? What will they say? And then I went and the inspector said, "Acha, Maharaj, I said, books distribute karna hai." I was very nervous. He said, "Theek hai, amara parade chal raha hai, aap apna announcement karo." And I went. Around 85 policemen are standing. And I had to give a 5-minute presentation to them. I was so nervous. But then slowly, it's fun going to police stations, banks, offices. So many places we go. So this adventure and excitement is an integral part of a devotee's life who's always every day going out and preaching and meeting strangers. So Bombay, local train, 6.5 million people travel. 65 lakh people. You can meet so many people. You can have fun basically. Adventure you can have. Srila Prabhupada is amazing. He was in San Francisco once and he was translating books. So middle of the night, now Prabhupada's schedule everybody knows. He would sleep at 8:30, 9 or something. But by 12 he would be up. 11:30, 12 he would be up. Many times he would sleep at 10 in the night and get up by 12. That was his normal schedule. So as usual he was translating around 2:30 in the night. Everything is quiet. Suddenly there is a loud bang on the door. Prabhupada is disturbed. Prabhupada goes to the door and says, "Who is this?" And he opens the door. And there is one young girl. Just with big eyes just staring at Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Yes, what is it?" She doesn't say a word. She just stands there. Can you imagine 2:30 in the night? You are busy, absorbed in translating Srimad Bhagavatam. In San Francisco's 8 Ashbury district, which is like the drug capital of the world. People are all crazy hippies there. And Prabhupada is translating Srimad Bhagavatam in that place. And this crazy girl comes and she's just standing in the door. Prabhupada closes the door, continues his work. Again, she starts banging the door. Again, Prabhupada, "Yes, what is it?" She just stands. So Prabhupada is very upset. Prabhupada is about to bang the door again. She comes inside the house. So when she comes inside, Prabhupada becomes uncomfortable. He goes outside. As soon as he comes outside, she also comes outside, but she pulls the door and that door is self-locking door. So Prabhupada is locked out of the house along with this girl and he doesn't have a key. So both of them are outside the house at 2:30 in the night, San Francisco, December, winter. And this girl is just like, you know, she's just standing like a zombie. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's just standing. And Prabhupada walks up and wherever Prabhupada is walking, she's coming. So Prabhupada said, "What to do now?" And she started chastising that girl. "You stupid girl, you know what you have done. I don't have a key now. What will we do?" Then he started thinking, "Where is Mukunda staying?" Mukunda is staying somewhere close by. He has a spare key. But he doesn't know his house. Then he goes in the street, walks up and down. There are some lazy drug addicts, some bums lying on the ground. Prabhupada makes his way through them. Finally he goes, realizes, Mukunda is in this particular lane. And like that he goes. And he bangs on Mukunda's door. And Mukunda opens and he's surprised. He sees Prabhupada and one girl next to him. And he sees the watch, 3 o'clock in the night. Prabhupada explains the whole story and then he gets angry and he tells the girl, "You stupid girl, don't you realize what you're doing? You're disturbing an elderly Swami who is busy translating." And she just looks at Mukunda and says, "You are not ready. You don't know." So he's wondering, what is she saying? So then he has a spare key, fortunately. He comes and opens the door and Prabhupada goes in. And Mukunda tells this girl, "Now, quietly go away." And she, instead of going away, she stands there and she starts screaming, like a crazy lady. And then Prabhupada is waiting, very tolerant, patiently. Finally, Mukunda takes her and then somehow, after an hour, the whole thing is solved. And what does Prabhupada do after the whole thing is solved? Goes back to his table, closes the door, continues his translating work as if nothing has happened. Actually, it's crazy. If somebody goes through something like that, next 10 days, he'll be in a state of shock. Prabhupada was very cool. He continued his translation. He was absorbed in Krishna. And with so much pains and discomfort he has to go through to give us these books. So it behooves us to read those books and give it to others at least. That's the least we can do. So this kind of people we meet, and we might not meet somebody crazy like this. Fortunately, in India, nobody is atheistic so much that they will abuse us or they will fight with us. But still, we have fun. Like in Allahabad, recently, near one village in Allahabad, His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj's disciple, they are part of Padyatra. They went for preaching. And as soon as they entered the village, 5-6 people saw the group and said, "My God, they have come, run!" They started running away. So this Prabhanjan Prabhu was telling this story. He's a disciple of Maharaj, Loknath Maharaj. And he said, "We thought, what have we done?" So we went to one shop and the shopkeeper looked at us and he said, "Hare Krishna." And he also immediately closed the shutter and he went away. He said, what happened? And then they went to a few places and then they realized what had happened was, there was one man, this Padyatra goes to whole India. They travel all over India. And they reach a village after every 6 years, they'll come back to the same place. Like if they're in Bombay now, they will go to different places. And eventually after 6 years, they'll come back to the same place. So 6 years ago, when they had come to that same place, one man had taken Bhagavad Gita. And he read the Gita, within 2-3 days he read. And he got so excited, he said, "This Gita is so good. I want to meet the devotees." And he came and the devotees had already left the village. He got so disturbed. He said, "Until I see them again, I will keep Maunavrat." He took a vow like that. And he had just got married at that time. His wife was bewildered. He is going to keep Maunavrat. He's not going to speak. He said, "This book." Then he kept the whole day and night, he would only read that book. And the whole village thought his Hare Krishnas came and made him mad. For 6 years, so no devotee came to that village. And after 6 years, this Padyatra comes back. And the news spreads that Padyatra is back. And now this man, after 6 years, is now going to break his Maunavrat vow. And he's going to break his silence. It became a big news. And a big pandal was erected in the ground. That now he's going to speak. And he was brought in a palanquin. It was a big festival. It was a big event in the village. And he sat on the Vyasasan. They made a Vyasasan for him. And he was about to speak his first words after 6 years. And the devotees, they are always expert in... Devotees are very good opportunists. They are expert in taking advantage from all these situations. So they also put up their book table and they had prasadam stall and preaching counters like that. So this man opened his mouth and the first thing he said, "Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead." And he said, "Srila Prabhupada ki jai." And then he started giving a powerful Krishna conscious class to the whole village. Because that is what he's been doing. And in the middle of the class, dramatically his mother entered. She was a follower of one very famous Mayavadi guru. And she started speaking and he made her shut up and he shouted at her and he said, "This is bogus philosophy and actual philosophy is Krishna is God," and he started glorifying Krishna. It was a big news and the devotees distributed books and they had a big feast, big program, and they left. And this Prabhupada Prabhu was telling me later that this is the kind of adventures they go through when they are preaching. Every day new people, strangers, some crazy, some friendly. So it's fun actually. In material world also, people are after fun and they want adventure and excitement. But they don't get it. For them, it is chewing the chewed. Adanta gobir, vishatam tamishram, punapunas charvita charvinanam. It is, there is no rasa in material life. It is dull, boring. Like I heard one story about one man who was madly in love with a girl and he desperately wanted to marry her and she rejected his proposal. But he was not the one to give up. So he started sending her a bouquet of flowers. He was a determined man. So by courier, every day he was sending a bouquet of flowers. And what happened? His plan became successful. She also fell in love, but not with him, but with a courier wala. So this is material life. People want adventure, excitement, they want something, they want juice in life, but they get nothing out of it. But Krishna consciousness is full of rasa, actually. Actually, there is taste. Because there is an element of spontaneity in what we are doing. See, we are all practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We understand we have vidhi, rules and regulations, all these things are there. But there is this bhava, the element of bhava, element of love and spontaneity in Krishna consciousness. And because of that, Krishna consciousness becomes very exciting, full of rasa. Like if you go to South India, they also have Rath Yatra in South India. For, I've gone to one temple, they have this. They take the Lord. But they don't have concept of kirtan and holy name. For they just keep pulling the chariot. And they get tired, they sit down for 10 minutes. And then they again get fresh, again they pull 1 hour. For a devotee's experience, Hare Krishna Rath Yatra, he'll not be happy in such a Rath Yatra. And what happens in Hare Krishna? Do we ever have anxiety about pulling the Rath? Do we ever have a planning? Oh, how will the Rath be pulled? We all know. That is not one of the biggest agendas in our mind. Rath Yatra means chanting and dancing and glorifying the Lord. And we always will, after Rath Yatra, we have next week, coming Saturday. So what does Rath Yatra mean? Devotees are always talking about, for days they will talk about, not how they pulled the Rath, but they will be talking about. Of course, pulling the Rath is important. And we all touch the Rath, we pull the Rath. But then our main activities, we glorify the Lord, we chant and dance. And we talk about His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj's kirtan or this kirtan and dancing and feast. So much of life, there is so much of taste in Krishna consciousness. There is spontaneity, there is devotion. So therefore, Krishna consciousness transcends. In material world, in India especially, spiritual life is a ritual. It is ritual, but Krishna consciousness is actually spiritual. You know, that spirit is added, that bhava is added. Therefore, when we preach, we experience that rasa, that adventure and excitement we experience. Otherwise, in material world, people for adventure and excitement, they do crazy things. They do this bungee jumping. You've seen that? And they have this one more thing they do. They go high up in the air and they take a parachute and they jump, but they don't open the parachute. They want to open the parachute at the smallest possible height. And you know, some kind of adventure they want like that. Very risky things people do. But they don't get rasa, they don't get that juice. Only when we connect to Krishna, we glorify Krishna, we preach, we experience that. For this adventure and excitement we can experience in Krishna consciousness while preaching and giving Krishna to others. And the third benefit, what is the acronym we decided for this? So H is humility, A is adventure and excitement. And R, which is very important, devotees generally, whoever does book distribution or preaching for a certain period of time, will get this, and that is realization in Krishna consciousness. Realization is very important because many times our understanding of Krishna consciousness is basically knowledge. We only have information. We don't have realization. We have gyan, but we don't have vigyan. So realization is very important. What is the meaning of realization? Sakshatkar, that vigyan. Realization basically means, simple, to put it in very simple words. We sometimes hear devotees say, what is the realization after the yatra? People say like that. Realization basically is simple. What it means is, realization means accepting what is reality as reality. Accepting reality as reality. So reality is what, according to scriptures, material world is miserable. So in the lecture we might say, yes, yes, material world is miserable. We might hear and we might say yes. But when we accept it, accept this reality within our heart as reality, yes, truth, this is truth. When that acceptance comes in the heart, then that is realization. Otherwise, generally, like in lectures, we might hear a speaker might say, sense gratification is abominable. And we might nod our head. But we might be thinking, "Are achha to hai, people are enjoying." You know? That means we don't have realization. We have knowledge. So what happens when we go out and preach, constantly meeting these people, materialistic people, interacting with them, giving them books and seeing their suffering condition, slowly gives us realization. Slowly gives us that acceptance of what Prabhupada is telling about Krishna conscious philosophy in the books. So it's very important that, because one of the basic philosophies is body, soul, you know, these things are all theory for us. Purnachandra Prabhu was saying that this realization is very difficult to get, and people in Western countries, he was saying in one place, he was giving a lecture and he said, "So you are not this body." For this man immediately said, if I am not this body, then whose body I am? You know, he couldn't understand that there can be something different from the body. So what Prabhupada is presenting is very deep philosophy. We are not the body, we are the soul. Krishna is God, material world is bad, sense gratification is abominable. So how will we get realization? Simply by bookish knowledge and simply by reading, we will not get. We have to do practical service. We have to do introspection. We have to allow the heart to be churned. Srila Prabhupada had this realization always. There is one conversation where Prabhupada is saying, "You will not understand my English because what to do? I have a Bengali body." You know, Prabhupada is immediate. This is realization that Prabhupada is understanding that this body is, you know, he's not saying I am Bengali or I am, this body is. I remember once one devotee was saying on his birthday, he was, I think, 30 years old. He said, "I have spent 30 years in this body." You know? So he was spontaneously said it. So you could understand that he has got that realization. He's accepting the reality. So basically, many, many philosophical truths in Krishna consciousness, we only have knowledge. We don't have realization about that. So Prabhupada writes in one place, in one purport, he writes, 1 ounce of realization is worth million tons of knowledge. So the realization is very important in Krishna consciousness. And unless we get realization, we'll not be happy. We'll always be in anxiety. You know, if you don't have realizations, we'll always be... Yesterday, Zulana Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in this amazing class he gave for 2 hours, he was saying this point that ultimately, there is no substitute for maturity and realization. We need that maturity and realization. Jiva Krishna Das, E Vishwas, Karle Tohar Dukkha Nai. So unless we are convinced about this, unless we get this realization that Krishna is supreme and this body is temporary, we'll not be happy. We'll always have this anxiety and misery. Because it's not knowledge that actually matters in the long run. Sometimes people who are hungry, or sometimes people who are weak physically or medically, they think if I eat a lot, I'll be healthy. It's not what you eat that makes you healthy, but it's what you digest. That makes you healthy. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we have to digest the philosophy. We have to get the realizations of these truths. And it is the spiritual master's duty is to give us knowledge. But it is the disciple's duty to understand it. It is his responsibility to understand and to develop the realization, to go out, to preach and experience it. Because what happens, practically I'll tell you what happens when you preach, if you're only thinking of book distribution during marathon or preaching in general, we are seeing material energy everywhere. When we are not thinking of preaching, we are thinking how I'll enjoy this material energy. But when we are preaching, we are thinking how this can be engaged in Krishna service. Like if you see some hoarding, say one washing machine company, some ad for washing machine. So we might see, "Oh, nice washing machine. How I wish I had it. I could enjoy it." But if you're in the mood of preaching or book distribution, you will see that and you will say, "Wow, this machine, washing machine company, how nice it will be if you can distribute books there. Where is the office? Can I go there? Can I meet people?" So immediately we are thinking of engaging Krishna's resources in Krishna's service. For that consciousness we develop when we are always thinking about preaching. Because we are not thinking about the self. We are thinking how this soul or how these people can be connected to Krishna. And therefore we get realization. Therefore, we have to go out and try our best to preach. Srila Prabhupada was in Delhi in the initial days before he went to West. He was doing book distribution alone in the streets of Delhi. He was distributing Back to Godhead magazine. And sometimes some people would tell him, "What is this, Swamiji? You are wasting your time." So Prabhupada would not become disheartened. He would get realization. He would say, "Acha," then he would go back home. What he would do in the room? He would write an article on all the experiences that he had on that day. Like one day one man told him, we don't have time, we are very busy. So Prabhupada came back in the evening, wrote an article saying, modern man, dash, no time disease. So he wrote an article on how modern man is suffering from no time disease. Next day he's on the street distributing back to Godhead. Some more people abuse him. Some more people reject him. And one man says, where is God? No, there is no God. We can't see God. So then Prabhupada comes back and writes an article. If you see the old back to Godhead magazines, you'll see one article called Getting the Eyes to See God. So he writes, so Prabhupada would get realization because of preaching. Of course, he is a pure devotee of the Lord, his fully realized soul, but he would express it like that, as that he has got a lot of realizations by preaching, by meeting strangers, and by meeting opposition. So this is Krishna consciousness. When we preach, we get realizations. So H-A-R and the last D, which is the most important, is we learn to depend on Krishna. Dependence on Krishna is very strong when a devotee is in a helpless situation and he has big books with him, so many books, and he has to distribute and he's wondering what I will do, how I will distribute. He has to depend on Krishna. He can't do anything else. Because when there is an element of uncertainty in our life, then we take shelter of Krishna. If everything is comfortable and fixed, I get up in the morning, do this, do this, do this, do this, then there is no dependence on Krishna. But when there is uncertainty, we don't know what will happen, then we can see Krishna's hand working. We can see so many things happening. And we can say, wow, Krishna did this. So this kind of dependence and shelter, ultimately, why we are doing all this? Why we are doing marathon, or why in our temple we have so many activities? We have drama festival, we have prerana, we have chetna, Varishth Vaishnava meeting, and Bal Utsav, and so many activities. Ultimately, all these rules and regulations, all these activities, Rupa Goswami says, ultimately our goal is to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Ultimately, we have to become Krishna conscious. So if at the end of the marathon we are not Krishna conscious, then the marathon is not a success. So ultimately, our goal is to become Krishna conscious. It is International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So even preaching, so if we are helpless, we have books and we are not good book distributors, then all the more better. Because we can depend on Krishna. We don't have to depend on our skill. For then, at the end of the day, even if we don't have big score, we come back feeling very happy because we have remembered Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting section when Lord Vishnu enters the arena where the demigods and demons are fighting during the Samudra Manthan pastime. And he helps the demigods. That time Shukdev Goswami tells his realization to Parikshit Maharaj. He says, Tasmin praviṣṭe surakūta karmaja māyā vineshur mahinā mayasā svapne yatāi pratibodha āgate hari smriti sarva vipad vimokshanam. One of the most beautiful verses is saying, Tasmin praviṣṭe, at that time Lord Vishnu entered the fighting arena. Tasmin praviṣṭe surakūta karmaja, and he annihilated all the demons and all the problems were solved. And my dear Parikshit Maharaj, just like Vishnu entered the battlefield and solved the problem, māyā vineshur mahinā mayasā, if we allow Krishna to enter our consciousness, māyā will be destroyed similarly. How will she be destroyed? Svapne yatāi pratibodha āgate, just like you get up from sleep, all the svapna is gone, all the bad dream is gone. Svapne yatāi pratibodha āgate, similarly Hari Smriti, if you remember Krishna, Hari Smriti Sarva Vipad Vimokshanam. As soon as we remember Krishna, the obstacles go away. Because the remembrance of Krishna fills the heart with great joy. Because Krishna as an object of meditation is the best, because Krishna is all attractive. So when a devotee remembers Krishna while preaching and is Krishna conscious, he becomes blissful. Irrespective of the results, irrespective of the scores, although we have a score of 100,000 Bhagavad Gita, ultimately our goal is at the end of the marathon, everybody is Krishna conscious. The whole congregation or the whole community is depending on Krishna, and the whole community as a team is Krishna conscious. So therefore, this is a wonderful opportunity for us, because Krishna consciousness is ultimately yoga. And yoga means in any yoga, there are two things involved. I don't know if some of you have done yoga before. We have one yoga teacher coming earlier. So in yoga, there are two things that are very important. One is you have to stretch your body. You can't be just standing like this and doing yoga, you know. You have to stretch. And then you get the benefit of that yoga. But if you simply keep stretching, you get exhausted. I remember I joined the yoga club, but after the yoga, I would sleep 2 hours extra. And I was told that if you do yoga, you will need less sleep. You will be more healthy. But I was getting the opposite effect. And then the teacher told me, the mistake you are doing is, when you are stretching, you are simply stretching. You should not stretch just like that. You should focus on your breath. You should relax. You should concentrate on your breathing. Slowly inhale and exhale. So yoga means two things should go on. And if you simply sit and keep inhaling and exhaling, then you don't get your, you know, bodily muscles, or you don't get good health. You have to stretch also, and you have to breathe also normally. Both have to go on simultaneously. And Krishna consciousness is what? It is topmost yoga system. It is perfection of all yoga. So here also two things are important. We have to stretch ourselves. We have to get out of our comfort zone. We like to be comfortable, but we have to go out. Somehow a little stretch. But if we keep stretching without focusing on the second thing, we will be fried out. We will not get advantage. We will not get benefit. We will suffer more. So the second thing we have to do is, while we are stretching, we have to not breathe. Krishna consciousness is not breathing. We have to remember Krishna. So it's the remembrance of Krishna that makes the whole difference. So a devotee does two things. He stretches himself. He does extra services. He goes out of his way. But when he's doing that service, his main focus is on remembrance of Krishna. So that gives, that balances. Then you get the benefit. You simply sit down and say, I'll remember Krishna, very difficult. Today I'll just sit and remember Krishna. Mind is a rascal. Mind will not allow us to do that. So we can't sit and just remember Krishna. We have to stretch. But if we simply keep stretching ourselves without remembering Krishna, we'll get fried out in devotional service. So we have to do both. We have to stretch. And when we are uncomfortable, we have to call out to Krishna. We have to remember him. And then we get the benefit. And that's how this dependence on Krishna, this remembrance of Krishna, makes the heart filled with joy. And this is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami has given us 64 items of devotional service in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If you see. And what he says, ultimately, in all the 64 items, there has to be an element of yearning for the Lord. He says, this is not to be performed mechanically. It is not that Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti means rules and regulations, so I will mechanically perform. What are the 64 items? Offering water to Tulsi, taking Charanamrit, circumambulating the temple, offering obeisances. Like that, there are 64 items. If somebody does mechanically the whole thing, doesn't mean he'll come to bhava stage. Rupa Goswami says, in all the 64 items, there has to be an element of remembrance of Krishna, because that is the essence of all rules and regulations. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So therefore, when we do practical book distribution and preaching, we get these four benefits. We develop humility. If not develop humility, at least we will realize the importance of humility, and we will get a lot of adventure and excitement and fun. And third, our realization. And fourth, we will take shelter of Krishna. We will depend on Krishna. These are the two topics that we have discussed so far. First is, what are the benefits for a person who takes the book of Prabhupada? And second, what benefits will be derived by a person who is preaching, who is giving books to others? And now we will discuss, finally, briefly, what is the mood in which we should preach? Because preaching can also be a very... It can lead to problems if somebody is not in the proper mood. So preaching, there is a proper mood needed. This is nicely explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Jagannath Puri, Haridas Thakur is there already. And one day he comes to Siddha Bakul and talks to Haridas Thakur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in great anxiety. And he tells Haridas Thakur, Ya sabar ko numate hoi be nistar. Tahar hetu na deki ye dukha apar. Haridas kahe prabhu chintana koriha. Yavanera samsara deki dukha na bhaviya. So Mahaprabhu says, Ya sabar kon mate, look at these people in this world, they are suffering Haridas. Hoibe nistar, how will they be delivered? I want to deliver them. Tahar hetu na deki, I do not see any benefit for them. I don't think they will be delivered. Ye dukkha apar, I am in great dukkha, I am in great distress. So hearing this, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in great distress because people are suffering in this world, Haridas Thakur replies. What does he say? Haridas kahe Prabhu chinta na kuriya. My dear Lord, please don't worry. Yavanera samsara deki dukkha na bhaviya. I am certainly sure, I am confident that all these fallen people will be delivered. But you please don't take anxiety. Chinta na kuriya. So there Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. He says these two statements are most important for us to remember. First is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, E dukkha apar, I am experiencing great dukkha, great anxiety. And Prabhupada writes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always unhappy to see the condition of suffering souls. And what does Haridas Thakur say? Chinta na kuriya. Prabhupada says, this is the most important word a devotee should remember, that Haridas Thakur is trying to remove the anxiety of the Lord. And then he says, this is, Prabhupada writes, this is service. Service means everyone should adopt the cause of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and relieve him from his anxiety. And then again Prabhupada writes, this is actually service. And when we actually try to relieve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anxiety, we become dear to him. So therefore, the mood in which a devotee distributes books is that I am serving the Lord and this is to assist the Lord. Because he knows, Krishna Bhuliyaji Bhogavancha Kare Nikatastha Maya Tare Jhapati Adare. When we try to enjoy separately from Krishna, we get kicked. And when we are enjoying like that, we are suffering. Therefore, a devotee understands that Lord is very displeased. Lord is very unhappy to see people are suffering. They have gone so far away from Krishna. So, as a service to the Lord, I have to preach. Not because I am a great preacher. We might have wrong motivations initially to preach because we might want to become famous or we might have different motivations. And the test of this wrong motivation is sometimes, you know, some service we do very enthusiastically. We are very happy doing it. And after some years, that service you might not like. That is the time we can know that, oh, when I liked that service, that time my motivation was not proper. If my motivation was proper at that time, I would have liked it now also. So therefore, sometimes we might be very enthusiastic about some preaching, book distribution initially. But after some years, we might not be enthusiastic. So then we can check, what was my motivation then? So therefore, if your motivation is right, that is, I have to please the Lord, I have to relieve the Lord of his anxiety, I have to serve him, then it will be very blissful. Otherwise, it will be very painful preaching. Because we will be burning with the desire for fame, prestige. So devotee constantly, Lord is seeing this world is a crazy, hellish place. People are suffering. They have forgotten their relationship with Krishna. So I have to serve Krishna. I have to serve Krishna by getting these people back to Krishna. Because people nowadays, because they have forgotten Krishna, they are trying to seek happiness in such crazy things. You can't even imagine. Recently somebody sent me a mail about one news in United Kingdom. About one lady, she got married to a dolphin. And because she said, she was feeling that we cannot trust human beings. She was not experiencing that love, that rasa. So she married a dolphin. And then when she was interviewed and she was told that you are simply doing it for cheap popularity, she said, no, it's not cheap popularity. I'm not doing it as a gimmick. This is serious. I had a 15-year relationship with him. After a 15-year relationship with a dolphin, she gets married to this dolphin and people are glorifying it by saying that, okay, whatever you do in life, do it with passion, do it with zeal. So the whole world is promoting and encouraging this kind of aberrations, this kind of crazy behavior. And now what's going to happen in the next few years as Kali Yuga progresses, we can't even imagine. So you can imagine how the Lord must be pained to see that people are so far away from him, from loving service to him. So when we try to relieve the Lord of his anxiety and serve in that consciousness, then we can be happy. Srila Prabhupada in this mood, if you see Srila Prabhupada's travel schedule in the 1970s, it's crazy. Because he was burning with a desire to relieve his spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya from their anxiety, he could do all these miraculous things. I was reading Srila Prabhupada's travel schedule from Juhu to Melbourne in Arishwarya Prabhu's diary recently. And I was so amazed to see. And then I memorized the schedule. What had happened was, Prabhupada did a pandal, some satsang program. And he came back to his room in Juhu at 11:30 in the night. Generally, he would sleep at 10 o'clock and get up at 11:30. But today, he slept at 11:30. But that doesn't mean he will sleep. He'll get up at 2:30 or something. He got up at 12 because he has to do translation. And then he did translation till 3 o'clock. And 3 o'clock he took massage in the morning. Body massage. His servant massaged him. Half an hour, 3:30, Prabhupada got ready. And by 4 o'clock, he left Juhu temple to go to Melbourne. So then they go to the airport. They take a flight to Colombo. They go to first Sri Lanka. 3-hour flight. And in Sri Lanka, they are standing for many hours because they are in transit. They have to take another flight to Singapore from Colombo. And that is 4 hours flight. Then they reach Singapore. And there, Prabhupada is not allowed entry into the country. So he has to be outside. He has to sit in that plastic chairs with all the drunkards. And it's horrible scene. And the flight is delayed. And then eventually he gets to sit on the flight, but there is some technical difficulty. 6-hour delay more. And all these passengers are drinking and they're shouting. Prabhupada is simply tolerating, just chanting. And eventually he comes to Melbourne after a long flight, a lot of difficulties. He comes at 3:30 next day afternoon. That means 36 hours. And what is the first thing Prabhupada does? Harishwari Prabhu, Pushta Krishna Swami, other secretaries and servants, they are desperate to go and sleep and take a break. But Prabhupada sits, he talks to the temple president, he talks to all the devotees who have come to receive him, and then that goes on for some time. Then again Prabhupada takes massage. After that massage, Prabhupada takes bath, takes prasad, and is ready for his 7:30 evening Bhagavad Gita class. And he gives a class, and that class goes on, and there is a question answer. And one Christian fanatic, I was amazed to see this man is challenging Prabhupada with such arguments, and Prabhupada has tremendous clarity of thought. Generally, if you are tired, 1976, Prabhupada is 80 years old, he's an old man, tired, not got enough rest, not got enough sleep, not proper prasad. And here this man is saying, Jesus is the only way. And Prabhupada is very coolly saying, do you accept Lord is all powerful? He says, yes. If Lord is all powerful, why he cannot have a form? Why he cannot come as Krishna? So very coolly argues and defeats him. And devotees are stunned by Prabhupada's clarity of thought and his arguments. And then finally, the day ends for Prabhupada at 11:30 in the night. And Prabhupada, 12 o'clock is up to do his translation. And Pushta Krishna Maharaj and Harishwari Prabhu says, we had such a massive jet lag, we slept and we don't know, you know, how many hours we slept. We got up after a day. We got up the next day in the afternoon. We just slept for 10-12 hours. They were just sleeping. But Prabhupada had got up, he did his translation, did his japa, went for his morning walk, came back, gave class, gave initiations, then went to Sydney, continued his travel. So Prabhupada was burning with that compassion, and we cannot artificially imitate this kind of preaching schedule. But we can do our little bit. Prabhupada was in Mexico. This was all the more inspiring for me to read, because in Mexico, Prabhupada comes on Friday evening. Again, late night, kirtan. And devotees think of not doing kirtan much because Prabhupada needs rest. Prabhupada says, no, kirtan is ecstatic. Go on doing kirtan. Prabhupada is in the room hearing the kirtan, and he takes rest, gets up, does his translation. And Saturday, full day packed initiations. And then guests come to see Prabhupada. They come one by one. They offer flowers. So Prabhupada has to sit through the whole thing and smile at each one. And then that gets over in the evening. So no rest, so much traveling. Prabhupada wants to... Then the devotees come and say, Prabhupada, there is a TV show in the nearby town. Would you like to come? Prabhupada said, yes. But Prabhupada, it will be late night. No problem. Prabhupada goes for preaching. They come back at 2:30 in the night. And devotees sleep. Prabhupada does his translation. So one night he slept 2 hours. Next night, no rest at all. Saturday, after a whole day of preaching. And then he gets up, goes for his morning walk, comes back. And then the next day, Sunday. And Sunday, there is again initiations of more people. And again, Bhagavatam class, then initiations, then again meeting guests. And Sunday, again late night. Then again, Monday morning, he gets up. And devotees say, Prabhupada, we have arranged your program outside the city of Mexico. There's a big pandal program and big program. So Prabhupada goes there. 8 o'clock he leaves in the morning. And at 1 o'clock he's supposed to go for lunch to one Mataji's house. At 1 o'clock he's preaching fired up. And devotees say, Prabhupada, your lunchtime. Prabhupada said, tell her we are cancelling the tour. I cannot leave this. There's so much preaching going on. Tell her sorry. So they call up and they cancel Prabhupada's lunch program. Prabhupada continues giving lecture, talking to the devotees and the karmis. And then eventually they come back in the evening and Prabhupada comes back to the temple at 8 o'clock in the night. And the whole 12 hours he has only taken water. And then Prabhupada asks for puri, hot puri and milk and sugar. Prabhupada crushes the puri, puts sugar, puts it in the milk and eats, and he gives a big smile to the devotees. He says, this is life. Work hard whole day for Krishna and night take some little prasad. This is bliss. So Prabhupada was in bliss. He was in ecstasy preaching, taking the anxiety of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On another occasion, Prabhupada was in Fiji. Mr. Punja had organized a lot of programs for Prabhupada. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj became angry. He said, what is this? You are arranging so many programs. Prabhupada's health is not good. You should not do that. And 3-4 devotees chastised him. So he went and told Prabhupada, Swamiji, I'm very sorry. I arranged so many programs for you and your health is not good. And Prabhupada told him, who said that? So said, your disciples. Prabhupada said, no, I will do all the programs. And then when he went away, Prabhupada told his disciples, why do you reduce my programs? I have only one problem. My problem is, I travel too much and because of this my body is deteriorating and I don't get proper rest, but I am willing to tolerate that problem because I am simply a servant of my spiritual master. So let him arrange all the programs for me. We have to do this preaching. Prabhupada had such a tremendous sense of urgency to preach and to reduce and relieve the Lord of his anxiety. So this mood develops when a preacher is in the mood of a servant. Now, Isurina Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in one recent class that we are in big maya if we think that I am going to reduce Lord's anxiety. You know, I am compassionate. If you think we are compassionate, we are in maya. So he was saying, we can only be at best instruments of Prabhupada's compassion. Prabhupada is compassionate and I can be an instrument of Prabhupada's compassion. I myself cannot be compassionate because compassion is a very big thing. So therefore, the essential mood we are talking about means basically we have to be part of a big plan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already made a plan to deliver the whole world, Haridas Thakur says. So our challenge is to be play our small part in this big plan. The problem happens when we think, I will change the world. I am going to do some big preaching. I am there. You know, I have come. I'll do something sensational. Then the whole problem happens because we are not the doers. But when we are part of a bigger plan, then we are also peaceful and blissful. This was Srila Prabhupada's mood when Mr. Banerjee abused Prabhupada in Canada. This man was coming for Prabhupada's lectures and hearing attentively. And one day suddenly he got crazy. He started abusing Prabhupada in front of his disciples. And he walked away. And he didn't come after that. So devotees were happy that he's not coming. And Prabhupada inquired from his disciples, where is that Banerjee? He's not coming. Disciples said, Prabhupada, this good is not coming. He is abusing. Prabhupada said, no, he abused me because I must have done something bad to him in my last life. So I just got a reaction. But why should he be deprived of Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada was thinking that he is simply playing his part. There's a big plan of the Lord. And he has to keep on preaching. So therefore a devotee, when he is in this mood, he is blissful. Otherwise, there is a lot of anxiety. And Krishna, he takes care of all those devotees who are in this mood that preaching mission is big, it's perfectly made, and I have to play my small role. Therefore, this year, for devotees who are struggling or who are not confident of doing a lot of books, we are also planning from today to have a Back to Godhead marathon. Very simple. One Back to Godhead magazine you subscribe, which just costs 150 rupees. You get score of one Mahabig book. So you subscribe yourself, you get one Mahabig score. And you can tell so many of your friends, 12 months you'll get magazine free, plus so many book scores. So therefore, there are so many opportunities for preaching. If you understand that, I am playing my small part. So therefore, we see that devotees in Russia, in Ukraine, they are distributing books in minus 40 degrees Celsius, minus 30 degrees Celsius. And 3 years back, ISKCON Moscow came first in the marathon. And that was the time when they were thrown off from their temple and they were living in tents and they were taking bath outside. That time Russian winter was minus 20 and they won the marathon. So our goal is not to win the marathon, but to basically do book distribution in such a way that all the congregation, all the devotees are inspired. And Krishna takes care of those devotees who are part of a bigger plan. In Russia, there was one brahmachari whose service was to distribute books, and he was never a top scorer. Ananda Pragyat Prabhu, simple devotee from Sei Mayfair Pole's temple, was doing for many years, and eventually he got cancer and he was dying miserably. He was literally unconscious and devotees were surrounding him and chanting Hare Krishna. And he was not in consciousness at all. But just before leaving his body, his eyes lit up. And he smiled at the devotees and right hand opened the bead bag. And left hand, he made a sign, thumbs up sign like this, you know. And he winked at the devotees. He said, Prabhupada has not cheated us. The process is perfect. Hari Bol. And that's how he left his body. This happened a few years ago. And he got complete realization that Prabhupada is taking care of us. And this process is perfect. Not by being a great leader or great preacher, by he was a simple book distributor. We hear the story of Kunti Mataji from New Vrindavan. She was a very simple lady, housewife with children. And she would try as hard as the best book distributors. But she would never do more than 2-3 books. She was never a big scorer. But when she got cancer, she was on the wheelchair, she would go out and distribute books. And she was desperate to give Prabhupada's mercy to others. Because she was experiencing reciprocation from Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. When I heard from Vishwambar Prabhu, one of the senior most disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was telling me about one of his god brothers who also got HIV and he was suffering Namhatta Prabhu. He was also a simple grahastha distributing books. And when he got this disease, they brought him to Vrindavan to leave his body. And he was also in great pain. And people who die of AIDS, they have terrible pain in their body. But just when before leaving his body, he screamed out in great ecstasy, the Lord's name. Of course, he didn't say Krishna or Gauranitai. He said word mariculo. Mariculo means in Italian language, he was an Italian. Mariculo means miraculous. So he saw something miraculous just before leaving his body. Even Vrindavan is shouting to the devotees, Mariculo, Mariculo. And he left his body like that. So we don't know whether he saw Radha Shyam Sundar or Krishna Balaram. What vision he got, what realization he got for his service, sincere service, we do not know. Sudama Prabhu was saying that he was not saying Mariculo, he was telling the Lord, Merko Lelo. So he was experiencing that reciprocation from Krishna. Therefore, to conclude today's class, we basically took this verse from the Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter where Krishna says, whoever distributes this knowledge is dear to me. And then we discussed three main topics. The first is, what benefits a person gets who takes the book? What is the benefit he gets? He becomes connected to Krishna and his suffering ends. And he becomes joyful. Because Krishna is our Supreme Father. And we are all his children. So anybody takes book of Prabhupada, he gets connection with Krishna. And is relieved of this terrible sufferings of this material world. Crazy place. And second, we discussed what are the benefits that a preacher gets, a book distributor gets. And what benefits he gets? Hard. H stands for, he develops humility. A, adventure and excitement. R, he gets realizations in Krishna consciousness. And fourth and most important, D, dependence on Krishna. And then we discussed, finally, in what mood does a devotee distribute books or preach? And that is the mood of understanding that we are part of a big plan and we are serving the Lord to relieve the Lord of his anxiety. So in this mood, when we distribute books, this month's target of 100,000 Mahabig books is actually, we have never done this before. Our target, our highest score of our temple in marathon has been so far 60,000 Mahabigs only. This was 10 years ago. But this year, because last year our target was 8,000 Mahabig and we did 58. So this year we plan to do, we gave a target of 1 lakh Bhagavad Gitas. And we are almost going to do it now. We are on the verge. Last 10 days, 7 days left, and we have already done 50,000. So the slog overs have begun. So devotees are going all out. But we want to clarify this 100,000 Mahabik score is actually secondary. Actually, the marathon will be very successful if collectively, if after the end of the marathon, all of us have increased our attachment for holy name, we develop more attachment to serving Vaishnavas, we develop more desire to take association of devotees. If that increases, then the marathon is successful. So in that mood, we are trying to take part in this marathon. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj has given us a perfect formula for marathon. He said, marathon means 20 years from now, a devotee should look back and say, oh, they engaged me in book distribution marathon. That was blissful. And our Maharaj would always say, we should pray that we should always try to double of the previous year book distribution, but we should pray that we come last. So what does that mean? That means the whole world is more books are distributed. But only once I heard Maharaj say that we should come in the top three this year. And I was wondering why Maharaj is saying like that. So that day, Sunday feast class was on first December was Sunday. It was Gita Jayanti day. It was not Gita Jayanti, it was 1st December. And the class was in Babulnath temple. And His Holiness Gopal Krishna Swami Maharaj was there, Sachinandan Maharaj was there. And they all spoke on marathon. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj also spoke. And in the evening, Maharaj said, we should try to come in the top three. So then I was wondering, why Maharaj never says that? And then he clarified. He said, because we can tell the whole world that we never come first. We are never in top three. But even our temple, which is never in top three, could come in the top three because Gopal Krishna Maharaj came. Sachinandan Maharaj came. And they inspired us so much that we came in the top three. This will be a great chance for us to glorify these two great servants of Prabhupada. So this is the mood of our temple, that we are not interested in a big position, but all devotees are going all out to distribute books so that we can all collectively become Krishna conscious and be of useful service to His Divine Grace. Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Book Distribution Marathon ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.